Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. If you have it, please say amen.
Amen.
And the word of God says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Before you're seated, turn to somebody and ask them, are you a citizen of the kingdom?
Are you a citizen of the kingdom?
Amen. You may be seated. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of our Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What does it mean to live as a citizen of God's kingdom? Now I'm gonna be very blunt, very open with you. Being a citizen in the kingdom of God, amen, says that, and we'll look at this as we go through this morning, but it says, amen, that we are supposed to be different than those that are in the kingdom of this world. It says, amen, that we're different because of who we are. When I was growing up, there used to be a saying that grown-ups used to tell us all the time when they didn't want us to hang around certain people or certain groups of people. They say, the reason I don't want you to be around them, because the more you hang around them, the more like them you're going to be. Maybe you never had that said to you, but it was said to me. And I thought that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard in the world. But I thank God for wisdom.
Yes.
I thank God for knowledge. Because over the years, as I have grown up a little bit, I've come to realize how sound of a saying that is. See, it's so sound, amen, that even though, you know, you can be in the world and do those things, and it's quite true, and you can, not necessarily everybody, but you can tend to take on those traits and those attitudes and those things that people do. It's the same way in the house of God. See, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of the brethren as it is with some. Because, see, the more we hang out with each other, the more we begin to think like God thinks. Not just because we're hanging out, I'm going to get into it, but the more that we, amen, come together, and the more that we seek after the same things and look in the same direction, amen, the more we become more like Christ.
Amen.
Because as we come, the way we become more like him, amen, is because of our time that we spend reading, amen, and praying and worshiping and praising him. Hey. And in that, amen, we begin to take on the presence and the spirit of the living God.
Yes.
Because if you're saved, the Bible says, amen, that he's already in you. Now, because you're saved, amen, now the Lord is saying, now let me help you get shaped and molded into the man or woman of God the Father has called you to be.
Yes.
Being a citizen in the kingdom. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the King. That is the Lord of the kingdom of God. Amen. And on his robe, amen, if you read, amen, in Revelation chapter 19, it says on his robe and on his thigh, he has his name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible goes on to say that when you receive Christ, amen, into your life as Savior and Lord, you are what? Born again. That is, you are born into the family of God. You've been born out of the kingdom of darkness, out of this world, amen, that we were all naturally born into. But spiritually, amen, once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, amen, we are born again and we become part of the family of God.
Amen.
And because we're part of that family, amen, now we have some rights, because now we are a citizen in the kingdom of God. We are part of that holy nation.
All right. Called
Habashata. Jesus said in John 3:3, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless what? He is born again. Talking about being a citizen, amen. See, you just can't say, oh, I'm part of the kingdom of God. See, in the natural, amen, you can come to the U.S., amen, if you do it legally, amen, and you go through some things and you study and you take some tests, amen, and eventually you get to that place where you can just come in and you raise up your right hand and you swear allegiance to America, amen, you become a citizen of the United States because you decided that's what you wanted to do. But I come by to tell you, amen, it's not just that simple in the kingdom of God. Though the kingdom of God is open to whomsoever, everybody that's breathing and living, amen, you can have access to the kingdom of God. But the only way that you can become a citizen, amen, is that you must be born again. It doesn't matter how many titles man might give you. It doesn't matter if you're a bishop or a prophet, evangelist, pastor, or any other title that man has bestowed, we have bestowed on each other. Doesn't matter, amen, that my mom or my daddy or my brother or my sister or somebody else, amen, has been in the kingdom of God preaching and teaching all their lives. It does not matter, amen, that I go to church every Sunday, amen, and I put money in the coffers, amen, and I pay my tithe according to the word. It does not matter if you are not born again. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can be in church one day, 10 days, 20 days, or 20 years. But if you are not born again, you are not a child of the King, and you're not part of the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Can somebody say amen? Glory, glory, glory. We've gotten to a place in our world, amen, where people feel comfortable in their sin.
All right.
Why they're going to church.
Come on now.
Because the church has gotten away from teaching and preaching what the word of God says. And some out of ignorance, amen, they think they're saved and they think they're all right with God because they seem to be doing most of the right things. Oh, glory, abashata. But I'm trying to encourage somebody today. I'm trying to pull anybody that's still in the miry clay. I'm trying to help anybody, amen, that's looking for a way out, amen, to get you to understand, amen, that you must be born again. That's how you become a citizen in the kingdom of God. The Bible says, amen, that the kingdom of God, it's not just a fictitious thing. It's not just something that's written about on paper, amen, but it's a real place. It comes with covenant rights for its covenant citizens.
All right.
You can actually say amen if you wanted to, because those that know me, amen, I'm American history buff, amen, and I study history a lot, amen. There's so much you can learn about today from the past, amen. But you can almost say, amen, that the Bible, amen, is the Constitution, of the kingdom of God. You can say amen, amen. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. You can say amen that the Beatitudes, amen, are the Bill of Rights. You can say amen that the Ten Commandments, amen, are the bylaws.
Right.
But what you cannot say, amen, that you are a child of the King, that you're a citizen in the kingdom of God, if you have not bowed your heart, bowed your mind, bowed your spirit, and bowed your knee and said, Jesus, come into my heart.
Right.
We must be born again. I know I'm hammering that for this minute right here, but I feel like I got to stress that simple understanding. You must be born again. I was talking to a young lady yesterday, amen. She was sharing with me, amen. She said she'd been in church pretty much all her life as far as she can remember. And I said, are you a Christian? She said, yes. I said, tell me your salvation story. She said, huh? I said, tell me about how you got saved and when you got saved and where you got saved. You may not remember the exact date and time, but just tell me about your salvation. She couldn't tell me her salvation. She said, well, I've been going to church since I was like 6 or 7. My aunt took me. I said, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? She said, well, I pray all the time. And I pray a lot and I read my Bible. I said, but have you accepted Jesus Christ
yes.
as your Lord and Savior? She looked at me and she said, well, no. I said, sweetheart, and I said, you have to understand something. It's good that you go to church sometimes. You should go a lot more. I said, it's good that you pray sometimes. I said, it's good that you read your Bible sometimes. But let me help you. You haven't really done what is necessary according to the word of God to know that you know that you say. I said, that's why you're not sure, because you know that there's something missing, because she told me some other things. So I'm not sharing all that with you. But I said, that's why you realize there's something missing in your relationship, because you haven't taken that exact step. So I've come by to tell somebody this morning that you cannot point to the day and the time or the hour, amen, that you know that you know that you know that you know that you stepped out of this kingdom into the kingdom of God, you may not be saved. It's not like, amen, whether or not Uncle Joe brought you a present, you know, 10 birthday, you may or may not remember. It's not like that. Because see, when you have an encounter with Jesus, when you have an encounter with God, it's an overwhelming thing. It's something, amen, you remember all the days of your life. I don't care, amen, how old you get or how young you are. When you have an encounter with Jesus, and I'm talking about a real encounter. I'm not talking about one of these touches and you find out and you feel good. I'm glad you felt good. I'm glad you got touched. But did you get saved? Did you get delivered? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Yes. Hallelujah.
She couldn't tell me. So I handed her some information about the ministry here, and I invited her to church.
Yes.
And I said, I pray that you come. I said, I believe the Lord has something for you. Because what you're missing is in the house of God. What you're missing is a true relationship with Christ Jesus. The Bible says, amen, that the kingdom is a real place.
Yes.
Revelations 20 and 6 says, blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. Listen to this. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. What am I saying? When you get saved, remember I said there's some benefits that come with it. One of the benefits, amen, is that when the Father sends the Son back the second time, we're not sure when he's going to show up. We don't know if it's going to be day or night, midday. We don't know if it's going to be doing Christmas, amen, or doing May or July. We don't have any idea if it's going to be summer, winter, or fall. But understand, he is coming back. And if you've already given your life to Christ Jesus, the Bible says we're going to meet him in the air. And it said that the second death will have no power over us.
Amen.
There's some benefits. And let me just clear something up. Sadly, if you give your life to Christ or not, let me clear up any misconception for anybody that may have this thought. Understand that everybody, every one of us that's seated and standing in this room right now, everybody will live forever. Everybody will live in eternity. The only question is, where are you going to spend your eternity?
Amen.
The Lord healed me of cancer a little over a year ago. And I'm not going to go into that testimony. I'll do that another time. Praise God. I thank the Lord for that healing. But the Lord miraculously healed me of cancer. They said that I had a cancer, a mass in my throat that was like this big or something. They showed on the x-ray and all this stuff, and we started the treatment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I had an opportunity to give my testimony to the doctor, Dr. Child, in Louisville Northern Cancer Center, and to the nurse. Prior to them, we started this healing process that they wanted to take us through. And I told him these things. I said, one, I said, it's settled. And Dr. Child looked at me and said, what are you saying, Mr. Miller? I said, you have to understand something. I said, one of three things can happen. I said, the Lord can heal me miraculously and take me out of this. I said, he can heal me through the miracle of medicine and all the things he's given man and doctors the ability to do through medicine. I said, or he can take me home. I said, but either way, it's settled. I win. Right. And let me, you got to understand, I'm not looking to die. I feel like I know that God has more for me and my wife to do on this side. But understand, I'm ready. It's already settled. I've already accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And every day I have to fight for my salvation. I've been saved over 20 plus years. But I'm telling you, praise God, every day you wake up, you got to understand you're in a battle. Every day you wake up, you got to understand that even though the Lord is on your side, the devil is after you. Don't believe that you're going to be saved. Don't believe you're going to become a child in the kingdom of God. And the devil say, oh, okay, we lost one. Leave him alone. No. The battle intensifies.
Yes.
That's why it seems like when you want to do something for the Lord,
yes.
Everything just go crazy.
Come on, now, say that.
You want to do something for the Lord, you start getting headaches and your stomach feeling funny.
Yes.
It go from that to being that you all of a sudden you expecting some money to come in and take care of a bill, and all of a sudden the money don't show up.
Right. Come on now.
And you just knew the money was going to be there. All of a sudden, man, you find out you weren't supposed to get laid out. They letting you know next week is your last week.
Come on now.
Just because, and then the devil does this. You say, see, everything was going okay until you started going to that church.
Yes.
Hello, somebody.
Yes, he'll talk to you.
You was doing okay until you started going to that church.
Mm-hmm.
But when you got a made up mind, when you know that you're a child of the King,
yes.
When you know that you're a citizen in the kingdom of God, you understand that it doesn't make a difference.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. Because it's settled.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior.
Yes.
But what does it mean to be a child of the King? What does it mean to be a citizen in the kingdom of God? The scripture I read to you, amen. First Peter says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Chosen. The Bible says that the Lord desires that none should perish. Some years ago, I thank the Lord, when we was pastoring in Germany, the Lord gave me a word that I preached was called choose to be chosen. See, you're chosen, each and every one of us, by the Lord to be inducted into the kingdom of God. Every one of us, God has chosen. He didn't say, I like you. I like you. I'm not sure about you. He didn't do that. He said, everybody. Because all of them have been given the image of my Father, the image of God in their personhood. And God the Father desires that everybody comes back into the kingdom. But he also did something else. He gave us free will. Except they might not want to come. I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds like no pain, illness, sickness, or disease. Pain, illness, sickness, and disease. Wars, famines, rapes, and murders. No. All kind of wars, all kind of famine, all kind of murder. I think I'm going to choose this. I know it sounds crazy, but people are making those choices every day. So he gave us a free will. And he says, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a choice. So you can't say I force you. So you can't say I push you or that I tricked you. You can make up your own mind. But understand, he said, I'm calling you to a better place. I'm calling you to a better thing. I'm calling you to be priests, ministers of the gospel of the kingdom of God. I'm calling you to be a holy people from a holy nation. But you get to choose. And so what happens? We see the results all around us. Some folks are choosing the Lord. Some folks are not. Some folks think they fooling the Lord. You know, I'm talking about the ones that, you know, like I used to be. I talk about me. Go to church, you know, put on a facade, you know, the few times I would go, you know, and act like everybody else was acting, because I'd say, okay, this is how Christians act, I'll act like that too, you know. And then when I got away from the Christians, then I became who I really was. Because, see, I wasn't really a citizen in the kingdom of God, because I didn't have a passport, you know. I didn't have my stamp of the blood of Christ on my life, so therefore I was pretending to be a citizen in the kingdom that I was not in.
Come on now.
But the sad thing about it, I knew I wasn't. But I was still chasing after this world. It's a sad thing, the way I was living. But then I had that encounter.
Yes, Lord.
Remember I told you that when you have an encounter, you can tell about it. Mm-hmm. Again, this is not the center of the text of what I want to say, but I'm going to tell you. When I had my encounter, I was at the Insu Academy in Fort Lee, Virginia. A long story short, I went to a chapel service. I was invited by a young lady that I did not know. She invited me, amen, to go to service. And my first mind was to say no. But somehow I ended up saying yes. And I will tell you, amen, that when she closed that door, she said, I'll come back, Sergeant Miller, and pick you up at, I think, 11:30, whatever time it was. I said, okay. As soon as I closed that door, the devil got to talk. Man, what you say that for? What you, man, you know you don't want to go to church. Man, please, turn the music up, lock your door, leave the room, say you wouldn't, whatever, but man, you don't want to go to church. And I told myself, I said, well, I'm going to go because I'm a man of my word. That's what I said. I didn't go to get saved. I didn't go to get healed. I didn't go get delivered. I didn't go to hear the word of God. I didn't go to praise or to worship him. I didn't go to hear the music because I liked it. Mm-mm. I just went because I said to myself, I'm a man of my word. That sounds crazy. It sounds like there's a sermon somewhere in there. But when I walked into that chapel service, and I'm telling you, saints, I understand it now. But the day I walked into the chapel service, I didn't understand. And to this day, I say it's one of the most powerful chapel services I've ever been in my life. When I walked in the door, they were shouting. They were praising God. They were running around the church. And I was like, oh, my God. And I mean, the place was packed. There must have been 75, 80, 100 folks in there. And the place was on fire. Now, of course, I know now, man. But then I didn't know. And you know, when you're not saved, you know, you don't want to get too close.
Watch out.
You know, so, you know, me, I ain't trying to get saved, man. 5-5 going to be on TV in about an hour and a half. I ain't trying to get saved. I'm going to watch the ball game. Mm-hmm. So I sat with the young lady in the back. She didn't try to make me go up. She said, okay, so we sat in the back. They had pews. Talk about my encounters. I'm going somewhere with this. They're worshiping and praising. I don't know how it started or whatever, but all I know is I had to grab the pew in front of me. I told you the place was full, right? I had my hand on the pew like this, and I'm shaking the pew. I'm like this. Somewhere along the way, I lost sight of that young lady that walked me to church. To this day, I believe that she was an angel, because I never saw her again. I didn't even, when we left church, I left by myself. She was not with me. But I had an encounter that day. A man walked down the aisle, amen, and he extended his hand, and I was having this battle of my mind, amen. Maybe you've read the book, The Battle of the Mind, amen, or The Enemy Within Me. I had this battle going on in my mind. One side of my mind was saying, amen, you need to go on up here. They got something for you, amen. God is calling you. Come on, let's go. Come on, now, it's for you. Don't wait. And I said, man, you crazy. You better get up out. Man, these folks, look at them jumping up and down. And man, the ball, you're going to miss the game, man. Come on. The battle. But even though I didn't know it, I needed that encounter. Even though I didn't know it at the time, that encounter was going to change the rest of my life. Even though I didn't know after that encounter, amen, I would be a new creature in Christ Jesus. I would be born again. I didn't know it at the time, amen, but God was setting me up for a miracle. God was setting me up for deliverance. What am I trying to say before I go any further? Amen. Don't miss God, amen. If the Lord is telling you to do something, amen, you might not understand it. You might not know how to feel about it. You might not know anything concerning it. But amen, do what God is telling you. Do what the Lord is telling you, because he's trying to set you up for a miracle.
Amen.
Trying to set you up for a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
A young man comes down the aisle and extends his hand. I don't know if he was extending it to me or not, because there was a whole, like I said, the church was packed. But when I looked up at him, I just felt this peace. I got up with him. I walked down to the front of the church. I got up there, and I stood. There was three or four other folks up there praying on their knees. And so I got down on my knees, and I said to myself, I know how to do this. I've seen this before. I know what this is, you know. And I got down there, and, you know, the Bible says that when you die, your whole life pass before you. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. Excuse me, Lord. They say that when you die, that your whole life passes before you. I'm going to tell you that happened to me. I'm on my altar, and I'm playing with God. Because, like I said, I didn't go to get saved. I didn't really know nothing about prayer. You know, I wasn't trying to have no encounter. And so I was on my knees, and I said, well, okay, God, and thank you, Lord, and I'm sorry about, you know, all that stuff, you know, stuff I've been, yeah. And, but while I was playing with God, he got a hold of me. And he took me back to when I was like 6 or 7 years old. And from that point on, he began to take me through my life. It was like a film strip going across my mind like this. All up to that time in my life, he was showing me all the stuff that I had done was displeasing to him. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I began to break down. I began to cry. I said, God, I'm sorry. And I began to really try to pray and just ask for forgiveness. I didn't ask to get saved. Just, you know, how many folks, want to be honest, if you was living that simple life and you saved now, when you living that simple life, it was fun, wasn't it?
Amen.
Come on, just be real. It was fun.
Amen.
You know, I'm not ashamed of it. It was fun. That's why you kept doing it. That's why you keep doing it if you're not saved, because it's fun. Right? But as I sat there and I began to really pray and ask for forgiveness, I felt like I said all I had to say, and I was getting ready to get up, and I couldn't get up. It was like I didn't have any legs. It wasn't like my legs wouldn't work. It was like I didn't have any. I couldn't get up. And I started to get angry with God. And I heard a young man that was standing with the pastor say he was giving his life to the Lord. And just before I heard that, I said to God, I said, what do you want from me? I almost said it out loud. I was getting so angry. And the Lord says, I heard him say that. And when I heard that young man say that, I said, God, is that what you want from me? I heard the Spirit of God say, yes. I said, then you can have me. And I wasn't saying, like, oh, Lord, take me. No, I was still a little bit angry. Because I wanted to go. I still wanted to get up out of there and go to the game. I hadn't got saved yet. Wasn't clear of what was going on. But when I begin to say, yes, Lord, I'll give you my life and everything that I have. I surrender myself unto thee. All of us, that anger went away, and I felt this peace come over me, and it felt like a million zillion pounds got lifted off of me. Those of you that have been through that, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, oh, I felt light as a feather. I got up that day, went over to the minister, to the pastor, chaplain, I don't even know if it was a chaplain, civilian, whatever, but I went over to the man of God. He said, you want to say something? I said, yes, sir. He said, what do you want to say? I said, I just gave my life to Jesus. The church rejoiced with me, amen. The brother came around, laid hands on me and prayed. I didn't really feel nothing other than what I already felt from what the Lord was doing. So I'm not trying to dress it up and make it sound real spiritual. I'm just telling you what really happened. I went back to my seat, amen. Service was over with, and I walked home. But I was a changed man. I had been born again. Because I really meant it, even though I didn't understand. See, some people say, well, you got to understand, I got to get myself straight before. No. You ain't never going to get yourself straight. Because if you could get yourself straight, if I could have got myself straight, Jesus would not have had to die on the cross. So you never get yourself straight. The devil is a liar. But on that day, when I left that chapel and I walked back to the barracks, man, to the NCO barracks, I was a changed man. I changed my life. I mean, the Lord changed my life. He changed my attitude. He changed my desires. I remember I walked out the church and I reached in. I had on my best go to club suit on because, you know, I want to look good now. And I pulled out my Newports and I looked at them. I said, I don't even want these anymore. And just threw them in the trash. Never smoked again in my life. I started smoking at age 16. Gave my life to the Lord at age 32. Haven't touched a cigarette since. I didn't say the devil didn't try to tempt me. I said, I never smoked again. Now, it's all under the blood. When I used to drink like a fish, didn't used to drink. You know, you said, well, I don't drink that much. And I got to the point where I was drinking like a fish. But let me tell you, my wife can attest to this. She wasn't saved at the time, amen, but I came home from that time, amen. Back then, they used to have house parties and all that kind of stuff. And she said, well, I didn't really want. She said, well, they have the house. I said, oh, I don't want to go, you know, because I know. But I went. Long story short, young man, the man of the house said, hey, man, you want a drink? I said, no, man, I'm safe. He said, you don't want to? I said, no, I want no drink, man. I said, I'll take a Coke. You don't want a drink? How you going to disrespect me? How you going to come out now? Come on, man, got to have a drink. Got to have a drink. So I took a drink. Filled up my glass this tall, you know, with Coke. Had about that much alcohol in it. Drank it. Left that night, didn't drink at all because I wasn't trying to. And I felt good. I said, well, Lord, I don't have a buzz. I'm not high. And I didn't drink at all. Lord, I'm good. We got in bed, went to sleep. My wife was sound asleep. I couldn't sleep. How many of you understand that when you make it real with God, He's going to make it real with you? And He knew the devil had tempted me, and He knew the devil had got a hold on me, but He loves you and He loves me. He woke me up that night, hallelujah, while my wife was sound asleep. I cried out on the side of that bed, and I began to cry before God. I said, God, I can't do this by myself. I said, God, you got to help me. I don't want that drinking in my life no more. I don't want that smoking and drugs. I don't want that stuff in my life no more, Father. And the next thing I know, when I woke up from that morning to this day, I've never had another drink in my life. Again, I didn't say I wasn't tempted. I didn't say the devil didn't try to draw me back. But what I'm telling you, amen, that when you're on the Lord's side, when you are a child in the kingdom of God, when you become a citizen, amen, you got some rights and privileges. And one of them is, amen, you can call on the name of the Lord, and He will come down and meet you where you are. And because you have given your name to Jesus, and you've given your life unto Him, when the devil comes and says, do this and do that and come your way, you can say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Christ. That's not for me. I'm not of this kingdom anymore. I'm of the kingdom of God. And you can keep on walking, and you can keep on talking, and you can keep on doing all that God is calling you to do. Can somebody say amen? What I'm trying to convince you to see, amen, is that you got to have an encounter, and that encounter should be so awesome that you're able to point back to that thing 30 years later. You ought to be able to point back to that time, amen. You may not know the day or the hour, but you can say, I remember, and this is what has happened. And see, that will sustain you, that will keep you, that will encourage you along the way, because you will know that you know that you know that you know that you know for yourself. It wasn't mama, daddy, brother, sister, anybody else, husband or wife, amen. But it was the Lord that was on your side that brought you out of darkness into His marvelous light. My God. Having an encounter. Being born again. That's how you become a citizen in the kingdom of God. The Bible says, amen, that you're a new creature. All things have passed away and all things have become new. We used to sing the songs of the old days. Amen. It says, my hands. My hands are new. My feet are new. Because my feet don't go where they used to go no more. My hands don't touch what they used to touch no more. My eyes don't look where they used to look anymore. My ears don't hear what they used to hear anymore. My God, my God. My mouth don't say what it used to say anymore. Why? Because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you, it's a day by day, step by step, walk with the Lord. But for every step you take with Him, God's going to strengthen you. For every step step you go with him, every day you go with him, God's going to be on your side. So you understand that you're not in this thing by yourself, but you're in it with the kingdom of God. And that means the Bible says the whole host of heaven is with you. The whole host of heaven is watching you. And if you need some help, Jesus will send an angel on his way.
Hallelujah.
New creature.
Hallelujah.
In Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, call him up.
Call him up.
My Lord. When God grants us citizenship in the kingdom of heaven, we become new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm not going to read it. When we become new creatures, amen, we get power and privileges. So what does, I'm going to go through this quickly. What does a citizen of the kingdom look like? In other words, what are the characteristics of a kingdom citizen? See, let me give you the characteristics of a worldly citizen. They love themselves. They love money. Right? They're prideful. Right? They don't love God. They may be good husbands and wives. They may be good children. But the essential is that they don't love the Lord. And therefore, since they don't love the Lord, they are subject to some things that a child of the king is not subject to. See, I tell my wife, and I share with folks all the time, I say, there was a time in ministry where I would get upset with unbelievers doing what unbelievers do. And the Lord said, and he showed you in scripture, he said, why are you getting upset with them doing what they do? They're like their father. So you should expect for sinners to live like sinners. Why does that bother you? And so my understanding now is that I don't have a problem with sinners being. I used to be a sinner.
Amen.
Underlying used to be. Does that mean that I'm saying I'm perfect? No, that's not what I'm saying. Does that mean that I never committed a sin again since I gave my life to Christ? No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying to you, amen, is because I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. When I do commit a sin, I can go to the Father and say, Lord, forgive me. And mean it sincerely. Not, Lord, okay, forgive me for that. I didn't mean to do it. And then go on about, no. But sincerely say, Lord, forgive me. When you ask God to forgive you, what it means is that you turn away from that thing. And you don't go back to it again. See, the main difference between an unbeliever and a believer, other than the number one is they believe the word of God. We'll take that back. They obey the word of God.
All right.
The other distinction is that sinners live a lifestyle of sinning. They live that. That's what they do. That's all they know. That's who they are. But a Christian, we're supposed to be living a kingdom lifestyle.
Yes.
So when we sin, it's something that's outside of the norm for us. It should be.
Uh-huh.
And so then we go to the Father and say, Lord, he says, I know, son. I know, daughter. Amen. Get on up and move on. Next step, keep moving. So what am I trying to say to you? I'm trying to tell you, amen, that there's a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world, the citizens of this world and the citizens of the kingdom of God. So what are they? Well, let me tell you this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12, it says this. And if you all in chapter 5, most of you, if you don't know it off the top of your heads, you know that chapter 5 is what? The Beatitudes. Okay? So in Matthew chapter 5, amen, Matthew writes this. He said, and he's writing this in reference to what Jesus is saying. He says, amen, that being a member of God's kingdom will put us first and foremost at odds with the world. Puts us at odds with the world. That means, amen, we're not going with them. We're going opposite of them. We're at odds. Okay? Jesus emphasizes throughout the Sermon on the Mount that the citizens of God's kingdom, his followers, will be entirely different from other people. Know what that means? It don't mean that we look different. We're green and they're blue. No, it don't mean that. But it means our lifestyle.
All right.
is different.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, amen, I struggle with this over the years, but I'm getting more settled in as God is leading, guiding me, amen. There ought to be a difference between the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, thank you, Lord. There is a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world. There's a difference between the saved and the unsaved.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, this ain't popular preaching. This ain't proper teaching, but I didn't come here to be popular. And the Lord didn't call me to be popular. He called me to teach and preach the word of the living God.
Yes.
And according to this world, it's all right for us to come to church and still be sipping, tipping, and dipping. It's all right. Amen. We living in the okay we want outside the church. And then coming to church and say, oh, how I love Jesus. According to the world, it's all right. Because God is going to work it out. God ain't done with me yet. He's still working on some things in me. You know, those kind of things. Well, you know, just pray for me. No. What does the word of God say? The word of God says, amen, that when Jesus was on the cross, it says he declared, it is finished. Now it's almost done. Now I'm still got to do some work on it once I get up. But it's finished. What was finished? He said the work that the Father sent him to do. What was the work? To open up the world to the realization of the kingdom of God. To make a pathway from this kingdom into the kingdom of the living God. What was his work? What did he do? Amen. The Bible says, if you read everything Jesus did, he went throughout all Galilee and all Judea preaching the kingdom of God. His work is finished. It says, amen. As Matthew goes on, he says, our thoughts will be different. Our words will be different. Our priorities will be different. Our value system will be different. Our outlook on monies and lifestyle relationships, all of those things will be different. But why will they be different? Because somewhere, somehow, someday, sometime, one of us, all of us got down before God and said, Lord, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe it's the Son of the living God. I believe he died on a cross, and I believe he rose on the third day. I believe right now, Father God, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and I believe he's pleading my case before you, and I receive him as my Lord and my Savior. Help me, Father God. You don't have to be these exact words, but help me, Father God, to become the man of God, the one of God, the servant of God, the child of God that you've called me to be. I can't do it by myself. Send me to a place. Send me to a church. Send me to a people, Father God, they can help me to become the woman or man of God you called me to be. Yes. And if you got it real good where you at, somebody might even lay hands on you.
Come on.
And you get filled with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Because how many of you know that when you read the Old Testament and when start in the book of Acts, every time the apostles got together, they had house church, home churches, and they would go to the home church. And a lot of times it wasn't just believers. They would find out that John was in the area, amen, or Peter was in the area, and say, well, gee, Peter, will you come on down? Two or three of us say, man, we'd like to hear the word. We haven't heard the word in a while. Can you teach us a little bit? And matter of fact, we're going to invite some friends over, amen. Just have a good time in the Lord. You can just have a good old Bible study. He said, okay, I'll show up. The Bible said Peter went one time, went to a house, amen, and he got there and they had a gathering. He said, oh man, they got the singing and praising God. It got real good to him. He got the teaching the word. It got real good to him. He said, and suddenly the Spirit of God came down. He said, and everybody in the house got saved, got healed, got delivered, and filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, they left that house that night. Whenever it was over with, everybody was rejoicing in the Lord. And then they did it all again on the next day. What am I trying to tell you? That when you get filled with the power of God, your life is going to change. Your priorities are going to change. I like football. My wife would tell you, I love my Pittsburgh Steelers. But my Pittsburgh Steelers don't come before the things of God. Ooh, I love my wife and my children and my grandbabies, but they do not come before the kingdom of God. Why? As much as I love them, they didn't save me. As much as I love them, they couldn't heal me. As much as I love them, they couldn't keep me.
Come on now. Come on now.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. If it had not been for the Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes.
Trying to help somebody. What do a citizen of the kingdom look like? Let me tell you. first thing, amen, hallelujah, you love God. Yes. I have to start right there. Because if you don't love God, you're not really a kingdom person. You might love to go to church. You might sing in the choir. You might be the worship leader. You might play the piano. You might even be the preacher in the pulpit. I don't know. But I'm telling you, amen, that the first example, amen, of you loving, being a citizen in the kingdom of God is that you love God.
Amen.
And because you love God, everything starts there. Yeah. You start evaluating your own life. Other people don't have to judge you.
That's right.
Because you love God so much, you want to be right.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, because the Holy Spirit is working with you now. My wife, she has a testimony. I'm not going to give it all, but I'll just give you a portion. When she gave her life to the Lord, it was on a, Easter? Yeah, Palm Sunday. Amen. That Monday, I went back to work. Was in Heidelberg, Germany. And I remember, amen, just before she called, it was about 9:15. I never forget it. But just before she called, the Holy Ghost said to me, said, your wife is going to call. I'm talking to her. Tell her, disobey. She called me. She said, baby, I'm hearing all these voices telling me to do this and do that and get rid of this. Again. I said, it's all right, babe. I said, it's the Holy Ghost. Just do whatever he tell you to do. Get rid of whatever he tell you to get rid of. She can tell you the full testimony. But you got to have some want to in you. I want to be right, Lord.
Yes.
So show me how to be the man of God you called me to be. And the more I begin to walk in it, because I love God, my life began to change. Because, amen, I begin to read the word of God and say, Lord, I don't understand nothing I'm reading. Help me out with this thing. He said, well, you need to start going to Bible study. Well, you can get some teaching. I said, yes, sir. So I started going to Bible study. See, when you give your life to the Lord, when you love God, amen, that first step, everything changes. Your priorities change. Amen. My wife, amen, she blessed me so much, so many times, so many different ways throughout our relationship. Amen. But one of the things that really blessed me that she said concerning me, amen, was that she remember when I got saved, amen, and I was at home and she hadn't given her life to the Lord at that time, amen, but she said she remembered hearing me praying. Hallelujah. Oh God, I didn't know she was listening. But she remembers me praying. I was praying for her and my children. Hallelujah. I was praying for myself. I was praying for our country and for the military and all those things and whatever else God had put on my heart. Amen. For our church we was attending at that time, our pastors and so on and so forth. But I was praying. And all I knew to do, amen, was just to pray. At church they said, pray and ask God. So that's what I did. I prayed and I asked God. He didn't call me to be no preacher or teacher at that time. I just wanted to be a good man of God. I just wanted to be a good servant in the kingdom. And so I obeyed. The next step, the next characteristics you see, if you're really in the kingdom of God, you love God. And because you love God, you love people. Even though they don't love you. See, Jesus told the disciples, he said, what profit a man to love those that love him? He said, even the heathens do that. He said, that ain't nothing. You love people that love you, everybody can do that. He said, but can you love them that persecute you? Can you love them that hate on you? I didn't say you got to like it. Nobody likes it. He said, but can you love them in the midst of it all? Has not been easy, because the old me want to rise up sometime. I used to say, well, you know, the old me would have bust you upside your head. So the old me would have pulled the 30 out my back pocket and put it up in your temple. The old me. That's what I want to say. I don't say that to folks. That's what I had wanted to say sometimes. But because I love Jesus loves me, can love people now. And it breaks my heart when I see people that are outside the kingdom, and I know they're struggling, they're going through, and they're afraid to speak up, they're afraid to come to the Lord. And I'm praying, I'm saying, God, you know, what can I say? What can I do? If you can't use me, use somebody else, Lord, but bring them into the family of the living God. It bothers me now. It doesn't bother me. It didn't used to bother me if people were going to say, they're going to hell, that's their choice. But no. Now that I understand, I'm like, Lord, it breaks my heart to know that somebody's going to miss the kingdom. I know everybody's not going to come, but while I'm still alive, Lord, while you can still use me, Father, I'm going to love them because you love them. I'm going to treat them right because you treat them right. Lord God, help me to be a servant to pull them out of the darkness and out of the miry clay, Father, into the kingdom of the living God. You love God. You love people. Amen. The other thing is, amen, hallelujah, you got a new mind. My bishop used to call it stinking thinking. You don't think the way you used to think. The Bible says, amen, through the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind, amen? Through your reading of the Word of God. You got to get the old stuff out and get the new stuff in. Hallelujah. Now, the key to it, amen, is not just reading. But you got to begin to obey it. That's the key. See, the difference between the devil and the saved is not that the devil don't know what the Word of God says. The devil can quote the Word better than most Christians, probably. Remember, he talked to Jesus. He tried to use the Word on you and say, don't the Word say that if you fall off this high temple right here, that he'll send angels to pick you up to get you? Don't the Word say? And what did Jesus say? The Word says that man should live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, not just picking and choosing. Yeah, it says that he will get me if I fall, but I'm not falling. You want me to jump. There's a difference, you know. So the devil knows the Word. So what's the problem? He does not obey the Word. Just that simple. A Christian obeys the Word of God. A citizen in the kingdom obeys the laws of the land. Let me use non-Christianese terminology. As a citizen of the United States of America, we are supposed to follow the laws of the land. When we break the laws of the land, we could be under prosecution by the judges and the lawyers and all those things, amen, and we could be thrown into jail if we disobey law. Everything from getting a jaywalking ticket, amen, to a speeding ticket, to anything above that, right? It's the same way in the kingdom of God, amen. We're supposed to obey the laws of the land. The five basic laws, amen, hallelujah. I mean, the 10 basic laws, amen, of the 10 commandments. Now, if you got those covered, you pretty much good. You pretty much good. But there's some folks that come in the church and they say they're Christians, but they don't obey the law. They don't obey the law. And so, therefore, they're not really Christians. They need more prayer. They need more healing. They need more salvation. They need more salvation. The difference, amen, between the saved and the unsaved, those that are in the kingdom of God and those that are citizens of the kingdom and those that are not, is that we obey the Word of God. Our minds are changed. And so now, we're not who we used to be. But now we are who God is calling us to be. Philippians 1, verse 27, Paul writes this. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Talking to the Philippians. With one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel and not frightening anything by your opponents. Amen. Paul was talking to the Christians in Philippi. He's talking to every single one of them. How do we refer to him? He said, all the saints. That meant the overseers, the pastors, the deacons, everybody with a title and those without. Those with didn't have one. He said, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Paul goes on to say, amen, in Philippians 3. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have seen in us. Hallelujah. It's more than just believing. It's more than just coming to church. Hallelujah. The biblical criteria for identifying kingdom citizens is more than having a piece of paper saying that I joined this church on this day in this place. But it's being selfless, obedient, faithful, and diligent as Christ was. I close with this. Christ did not come to earth to establish a religion. Okay? He came to define reality, to execute a plan of restoration of mankind and his creation, and to reestablish the kingdom of God on earth. God gave us humans the authority to rule the earth when he created us, but we threw that away by following Adam's example. When God grants us citizenship in the kingdom of God, we become new creatures. He sends his Holy Spirit to dwell in our lives and in our spirits, amen, in our bodies. He says, amen, our bodies become his temple. The Holy Spirit begins to transform our sinful worldly desires into those that glorify God. His goal, that is the Holy Spirit, amen, is to make us much more day by day, hour by hour, like Jesus. We're given the power and privilege of existing in the world, flawed system, but being in the world, but not of the world. When we become a citizen of the kingdom of God, amen, we no longer belong to ourselves, but we belong to God. And so I ask you today, are you a citizen in the kingdom? Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. I don't know where anybody is today. I don't know whether or not you're saved or not saved, whether or not you're a citizen in the kingdom of God or not. But if I wasn't, I wouldn't take a chance. I wouldn't take another day. I wouldn't take another hour. Amen. I would run to the altar. I wouldn't be worried about what somebody else might say or think. I would run to the altar. You may be here today, hallelujah. And maybe you've never given your life to Christ.